Best in Class is here today with the NFC North breakdown, a full review, fast and furious, of their NFL draft, each team broken down by JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Sean's broken down multiple divisions already. You can check them all out, but dive into the NFC North, an important division for the Bucks here today. Be informed. And, of course, it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. It is a great time to be in the NFL business. I know everybody's saying, well, Sean, it's so dull right now. There's not a lot going on. There's a ton going on, guys. We're going to go over the NFC North today. We're going to go through the draft picks. We're going to talk about some minicamp stuff. We're going to talk about the beginning of training camps. Can you believe it? We're like 21, 25 days away from some of the training camps starting in the NFL. Very, very, very exciting stuff. Little tiny subtle moves going on as well with the Buccaneers. We're going to talk about that too. But first, please visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See all of our amazing specials right now. We have a take a vacation from payments. Summer vacation, you're going to be doing things with your family. Your expenses are going to go up. Well, at Bill Curry Ford, we're going to make sure that you can defer your payments until August, September. Basically, give you the money for your vacations. Do what you want to do with your family. Remember, there's no better time than right now to trade in your vehicle, as well as inventory continues to shrink, your trade becomes more valuable. And that's super important. We're giving up to 130% of Kelley Blue Book value and discounts up to $20,000 off and deferred payments. So visit us at BillCurryFord.com. Please look at all of our amazing specials. If you're booking service, you can book as easily from the mobile device, right? So you go on your cell phone, go to Bill Curry Ford, go right in there, hit schedule service. You can schedule mobile service, which would be our trucks that come out. We have a fleet of trucks now that will come to your business or to your home. You can schedule pickup and delivery, which means we'll send drivers to pick up your vehicle from your home or work on it, and then bring it back to you, which is really an amazing service. That's free of charge. And then if you do want to come into the Giant and see our new amazing state-of-the-art facility and the largest service drive in the United States, we have over 99 loaner vehicles. So you can come in, drop off, leave in a loaner. We'll fix your car and you can return. So we have a lot of amazing things going on. Our service department is growing to be one of the largest in a single point in the entire country, which is very exciting. And we're setting used car certified records for the Tampa Bay area and are marked to become the number one dealership in the country. Again, the Giant has returned. Please come and see our new facility. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, Instagram, and on X. And by the way, email me at bestinclass@BillCurryFord.com with all of your draft questions or season questions. I really love answering that stuff. I really love engaging with not only Best in Class listeners, but Joe Bucks fan listeners. And a shout out to Josh Martin and his team as well. They're also now Bill Curry Ford customers, which I'm very excited about. Okay, we're doing the NFC North, and this is a really big deal to me because I get to talk about Caleb Williams. We're going to start with the Chicago Bears draft, right? They only had 5 draft picks, and they did such an amazing job with this draft, and we're going to go over it. First pick in the entire draft, Caleb Williams out of USC. For those of you who are seasoned Bill Curry Ford, best-in-class listeners, right, will understand how much I love Caleb Williams. Last year, you know, I fell in love with C.J. Stroud. Before that, I fell in love with Justin Herbert. And you guys know that my quarterback, I've been hitting. I haven't missed. I have been incredibly accurate with quarterbacks. Caleb Williams is the greatest player that I have ever scouted. And I hope it translates to the NFL. I know the skill can, but, you know, he is a little bit of a head case. And sometimes that can interfere with your play. But on the field, he is incredible. He is Patrick Mahomes' arm, you know, with Lamar Jackson movements. And I really think if you were going to build a quarterback, Caleb Williams is your guy, with touch, with accuracy, protects the ball, just throws the ball with a quick release, can read defenses, can move out of the pocket, can just make these off-balance throws that and saving plays that just no other quarterback I've seen make. I'm really looking forward to his rookie season. The really interesting thing is, after saying all of that, he's still a rookie. And I really do get annoyed at some of these quarterback pundits who already have Caleb Williams as the number 5 quarterback in the NFL. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, a guy who's never thrown a ball in the NFL could be better than you know, what is it, 25 other quarterbacks or whatever it is? How is that even possible, right? The guy hasn't thrown a ball yet. Can he be better than C.J. Stroud right now after C.J. Stroud just broke all of Dan Marino's rookie records? I mean, if you think about it, as much as I love Caleb Williams, he's still got to go out and actually prove it on the field. And the Chicago Bears have loaded him up with weapons. So congratulations to Caleb Williams, because he landed in an organization that built around him, unlike they did with Justin Fields, where they basically gave Justin no help. They've learned their lesson, and Caleb Williams is loaded at running back, at tight end, at wide receiver. And we're going to talk about that. But I'm not going to do a long thing on Caleb Williams, and I'll tell you why. If you go back and you listen to my best-in-class quarterback breakdown, I do quite a bit of time on Caleb Williams, breaking down his pros and cons. And I'm telling you right now, Caleb Williams, if he stays healthy, should be the offensive player of the year. And it usually goes to a quarterback, even though we have some receivers like Neighbors, you know, like Marvin Harrison Jr., which are going to get a lot of publicity, and rightfully so. Those are incredible players, and they're going to get a lot of balls thrown to them. But typically, a wide receiver cannot win over a quarterback that has a great season. Chicago Bears won 7 games last year. If Caleb Williams goes out there and wins 10 games, he's definitely going to be Rookie of the Year. We'll see how that goes. And Chicago Bears might have the best defense in the NFL. So we'll see. If he can just move the ball and not have the turnovers and stay on the field, and when I say stay on the field, I mean the Chicago Bears had a lot of 3-and-outs last year. I believe they were 2nd in the NFL in 3-and-outs. Caleb Williams, he needs to keep the ball moving, and I think that's going to allow the defensive side of Chicago to really dominate and win games. Now, again, talking about how they've added is the number 9 overall pick, Romeo Odunze, out of Washington, who is a stud at wide receiver. He is unbelievable. He is a combination of a lot of great receivers. So it's like, okay, he doesn't do anything exceptionally well. He just does everything extremely well, right? So it's really hard to say, is he the fastest guy? No. Biggest guy? No. Best hands? No. Best route running? No. But is he the best of all of those things in one guy? Yes, he is. And Odunze is going to be a household name in Chicago for a long time, and the NFL is going to know who he is. Between Caleb Williams and Odunze, Chicago Bears won the draft. That's an incredible deal to get your franchise quarterback and a premier wide receiver to go with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And it's just unbelievable the way that Chicago has built this team. I don't think that he's going to be in contention for Rookie of the Year only because of how many other good receivers are on this team between DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Is he going to be able to get enough touches? Are they going to throw the ball enough? Like, Malik Nabers is in a different situation with the Giants. He is the Giants. So he's going to get a lot of targets. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. in Arizona, which we haven't reviewed yet, he's going to get a ton of targets in Arizona. But I don't know what Ndunze's targets are going to be, but I'm sure he's going to have a very productive rookie year. Number 3, which is a 75 overall pick, offensive tackle Kerwin Egbundange out of Yale. So basically, as the Chicago Bears have had problems with their offensive line for at least the last 5 seasons, and they've been adding players every single year, and they added a left tackle from Yale. He was dominant in that conference, which he should be. I mean, that's Yale doesn't play in the SEC. On 234 snaps, he didn't give up a quarterback pressure or a sack, which is pretty impressive. The interesting thing about him is he doesn't have to be a left tackle in the NFL or a right tackle or a guard. You know, he can play a lot of positions on the offensive line. He can play everything but center. And I think that gives the Chicago Bears a lot of versatility. In the 4th round at pick 121, they picked Torrey Taylor, this incredible punter out of Iowa. I'm not talking about a punter. In the 5th round, 144, they took edge Austin Booker out of Kansas. I think he's a steal with the 144 overall pick. I really think he has a lot of upside. He had 38 pressures and 9 sacks in 2023. He had a tremendous run versus rushing side. So I definitely believe that Booker can play the run and he can rush the passer. But I think he's going to be a developmental guy. Obviously, he fell to the 5th round. But I do believe that there's something there in this guy. And in the 5th round, pick 144, who cares if he doesn't pan out? But if he does pan out, the Bears just really did terrific with 5 picks. Franchise quarterback in Williams, you know, a starting wide receiver. He's going to be starting in a 3 wide receivers set with Odunze, right? Then you pick here one as a tackle guard slash that can play all the positions on the offensive line. And Torrey Taylor, according to all the hype from minicamp, was absolutely murdering in the minicamp for the Chicago Bears. And he's going to be a game changer for them as a field producer. With that number one defense, they're going to be able to really pin back their ears. And apparently it's going to be a very strategic thing for them. I myself, a punter in the fourth round is too rich for me. I hope that he does all of those things. I've just seen so many of these punters picked high that do nothing in the NFL. Or, as you know, recently, that you know, one of the best punters in college football history, you know, had the issue with a off-the-field charge that had him cut, and I think he's now coming back. And yes, I'm talking about the punt god. He basically is coming back into the NFL this year after he got his legal problems done. But I don't know about these punters taking them that high. I think Torrey Taylor could have been a fifth or sixth round pick. But Austin Booker, I think if even if you would have picked him in the fourth round, would have been a very solid pick. But overall, great job, Chicago Bears, with a franchise quarterback, franchise wide receiver, who's a true number one, and then getting a dual offensive lineman at pick 75. Great job, Chicago. I believe that they were last in the North Division. I think that this year they will not be last in the North Division. They're not going to win it. The Detroit Lions are going to win it. But they're going to be very competitive in their games, and I think they can get to 9 wins, which would be a tremendous accomplishment for the Chicago Bears. Moving to the Minnesota Vikings, what an interesting offseason. They couldn't re-sign their quarterback because he said that he didn't want them to draft a rookie quarterback. And then he goes to the Falcons, and what do? They draft, you know, Penix in the first round. So he might as well have just stayed with the Minnesota Vikings. But Minnesota Vikings pick number 10, they pick J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. Now, if you go back to best-in-class quarterback rankings, you know how I feel about J.J. McCarthy. I think that he's a true unknown guy. I just didn't see enough of him to make him the 10th overall pick. I felt like this was really high for him, but apparently Harbaugh really sold him on NFL teams. I think there's a lot of practice that went into this that we didn't get to see, and a lot of behind-the-field stuff that really impressed everyone that he's going to be a terrific developmental quarterback. Right now, the update in minicamp is, you know, McCarthy is getting a lot of run from the backup quarterback. So, you know, Sam Donald right now looks like to be the starter for Minnesota going into the season, and I think he has a firm grip on that going into minicamp. We'll see how that goes. But again, the number 10th overall pick, if you really want to get a breakdown of J.J. McCarthy, please go back and listen to my quarterback breakdown pre-draft for Best in Class. It's a really great read. It's one of the best podcasts I do, period, is the quarterback breakdown. Pick 17, Dallas Turner out of Alabama, edge rusher, solid edge rusher. You know, Minnesota just lost their top pass rusher, so Dallas Turner can really step right in. I think that he has a really tremendous pass rushing ability. I think he's going to struggle against the run, but I think that he definitely has enough pass rush in him to make an impact as a rookie. So I think that's a very solid pick at 17. You know, they did trade back up to get him in the first round. Fourth round, so they didn't have a second or a third round pick. Kyrie Jackson of Oregon is a solid cornerback. I think he actually starts in the NFL. I think he has that much talent. What a draft for cornerbacks this year. The depth is amazing. Sixth round pick, Walter Rouse out of Oklahoma. He's a swing tackle. He's a backup swing tackle. Sixth round as a kicker. I'm not talking about him. Seventh round center, Michael Juergens out of Wake Forest. Very typical Minnesota Vikings, right? Just basically a well-coached, corn-fed, just looks like a Viking. Everything about that guy screams Minnesota Vikings. I believe that there's a lot of talent there, and I think Michael Juergens makes the team. And then in the seventh round, 232, they took an interior defensive lineman, Levi Drake Rodriguez, out of Texas A&M Commerce. Don't know anything about that guy, so I had to do research for this podcast. And it's really, really strange. The only thing I could find on him was a pass rush win rate from PFF and the fact that he had 24 pressures on 249 pass rush snaps. And he had a 91% pass rushing grade, which ranks first amongst all interior defense linemen in 2023. If you think about that pass rushing grade, if he's number one, why is he picked 232 in the seventh round? So I'm going to do a little bit more research on him. As far as his size, I think that he's going to be one of those guys that's not going to be able to be an every down guy holding up against the run and being very physical. I think he's going to have to hit the weight room. I think his level of competition also is going to hurt him making the transition. Getting back again to the Minnesota Vikings with McCarthy, apparently will be their franchise quarterback, but I think Sam Donald's going to get the opportunity. Dallas Turner, they traded back up with. I think it's 17. I think he's really great value because I think he wasn't my top pass rusher in this draft for those of you who listen to Best in Class, but he's a solid middle first-round draft pick, which is who he was. Kyrie Jackson in the fourth is a steal. What a great job. And getting Walter Rouse in the sixth at Oklahoma, which is really great. So overall, Minnesota drafted what appears to be some depth. at several positions without getting a lot of star players. J.J. McCarthy is going to sit behind Sam Donald. Dallas Turner is going to start. So right now I see one starter out of this draft for the Minnesota Vikings. So a lot to me is potential here versus how many snaps are they going to get as rookies. I'm not quite sure. So Minnesota's draft isn't very impressive to me when you have 2, 4, 6, 7 picks. But I guess it all this entire draft is going to depend on J.J. McCarthy, isn't it, at 10 overall. If they hit on J.J. McCarthy, it's a great draft. If he's a guy that we didn't get to see a lot of, but when he gets in there and he doesn't impress, or he is just an average guy or just an above average guy at 10, that's a really big miss for the Minnesota Vikings. But we'll see how it goes for them. I don't wish anything negative about J.J. McCarthy. I heard he's a class act. He's a great interview, good kid. So I like that aspect of him. So moving on to the Packers. Obviously, the Packers finished last year very, very strong with Jordan Love, and he played extremely well down the stretch. Their first pick, 25 overall, was tacking Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. See, the thing about Morgan is I didn't have him a lot in my breakdown because he just returned from an ACL injury in 2023. And when he came back, he was limited in his play. And then by the end of the season, he was absolutely killing it. So, you know, that's one of those things that you're really kind of taking a chance on a guy coming off a serious injury like that. But the good news is he played well coming down the stretch, and I thought that was really good. Arizona's level of competition to me isn't super awesome, but it's not bad. And he's going to be a guard in the NFL. So the Packers drafted a guy that they can play tackle and guard, which is not bad. And then Edgerrin Cooper in the second round of Texas A&M was one of my absolute favorite linebackers in this entire draft. And again, he was the first linebacker to come off the board, so I guess my rankings were pretty good. Very athletic, fast, makes very few mistakes, reminds me of Levante David. He's going to start for the Packers. I think he really does get in there. Javon Bullard, the safety out of Georgia. For those of you who are Packers fans, you know how bad they needed a safety. I think they found an amazing safety in Javon Bullard. He's great at coverage, very physical player, can play the slot. I think that he absolutely can dominate against the run, which is really what Green Bay needs. You know, they got run over quite a bit, especially in the Detroit game. I think that Javon Bullard makes their back end. I think he improves it drastically. Third round, other pick, Marshawn Lloyd, one of my favorite players in the draft out of USC. I watched a ton of him for obvious reasons. You know who I was watching at USC. I watched every game of every snap of Caleb Williams, so I got to watch Marshawn Lloyd run the ball. He's very, very underrated. I think he's explosive around the goal line. He finds a way to get into the end zone. He had 47 missed tackles. He had 14 runs of 20-plus, which is pretty crazy for a guy that they're saying doesn't have burner speed. Obviously, pass protection, which is always going to be a deal with first-year running back. But Marshawn Lloyd is going to be a star in the NFL. You just put an asterisk by him. He's going to be a star. And they went back to the linebacker with Tyron Hopper out of Missouri. The really interesting thing about him is another really athletic guy that can run, very similar to Edgerrin Cooper. So it's like they have now they're looking for a very – I'm assuming that they just wanted to get more speed and athletic on an off-the-ball linebacker, and that's really – they drafted two of them, which I thought was pretty great. You know, and you know the interesting thing about Hopper, he's got a little pass rush in him. I don't know how that's going to translate to the NFL, but I hope it does for him. Not a bad player. In the fourth round, Evan Williams out of Oregon, they went back to the safety well again. So they've drafted two safeties and two off-the-ball linebackers. Williams is not one of my favorite safeties in this draft, again, but he's more of a pass-rushing safety out of Oregon, which I felt like he gave up a lot in pass coverage. And as a safety, I really feel like that's something you got to be locked down on. You got to play the run well. You got to play coverage well. I think Evan really struggled in the coverage side, but I think he's going to play special teams. I think he's going to work into the rotation. Offensive tackle Jacob Monk out of Duke. Now, Monk is a guy that was very, very underrated. They really didn't have Monk very high, but I think Graham Barton, who was the Bucs draft pick, really, when you're watching Graham, you're watching Monk. The fact that Monk played center and guard the past two seasons really are giving them some versatility with him. So I think overall, in the fifth round, pick 163, Jacob Monk is a terrific pick. Again, the third safety off the board at pick 169, Keaton Oladapo, right, out of Oregon State. That's my best. You guys can send it. Sean Sullivan, best in class at BillCurryFord.com. You want to give me a hard time about my pronunciations, it's fine. I'm just going to call him Kitten. That's a really tough one for me to get. And I guarantee you not a lot of people can say that very fast. So here's a guy that had a 91.3 run defense grade. Really, really strong against the run. Not as good against pass coverage. So it's really strange how they went with Javon Bullard, who's a star safety. He was one of my absolute favorite players. The guy can absolutely play. But they come back and get Evan Williams. Then they come back and get Kitten out of Oregon State. So it's really interesting that I guess Green Bay just said, we're going to fix our safety problem this year. So they got three guys that play the run extremely well and one guy that can cover out of those two. In the sixth round, yes, it keeps going. Travis Glover out of Georgia State. Here's a guy that plays all over the field. He's 6'6", 35-inch arms. It's really crazy that he played 4,000 defensive snaps for Georgia State, which I thought was really incredible if you think about what he does. So he's a switch guy. So they switched him from defensive snaps to offensive snaps. Travis Glover, for his size, doesn't really move very well. I think he's a guy that's going to be a developmental tackle. Michael Pratt out of Tulane was at one point in the seventh round, 245, was considered the best after the first six guys. And then he kind of kept falling and kind of kept falling. I think that in the seventh round, he's an absolute steal. I think that Pratt is at worst a fourth round draft pick. I think he can immediately be the backup in Green Bay. And I love the way the guy throws down the field. And he's a true professional. Everything I researched on Pratt was the coaches just love him. You know, he basically is just a film rat who works extremely hard and really works on his technique. So I think the Green Bay really got an studious player in Michael Pratt, and we'll see how that goes. In the seventh round, another corner, Kalen King out of Penn State. Kalen King was once pegged as a first-round draft pick, and in 23, he had a ridiculous struggle. Like, he fell from a first-round draft pick to barely getting drafted, which is really strange. Here's the thing. Penn State, we can go over this, and Lita Kemper will talk about it. This guy Franklin took these amazing, talented players and then put them in systems and that didn't really fit what they were trying to do, or Micah Parsons would have been the number one overall pick in the draft, right? I think Kalen King might have been used incorrectly in an incorrect defense for Penn State. I think they made him play out of position. I think that Green Bay might have stole somebody here, because I told you going into 2024, he was ranked as a top corner in college football. And then had a bad year. If he can bounce back to his 23 form, the Packers got a steal. So again, Jordan Morgan's going to start for the Packers. Edrin Cooper's going to start for the Packers. Bullard's definitely going to start for the Packers. Marshawn Lloyd's going to work into rotation. Tyron Hopper works into rotation. Evan Williams is going to be a backup. Jacob Monk is going to be a backup. Kitten, the other safety out of Oregon State, backup. Travis Glover is a backup guy. Pratt might actually be the backup in Green Bay, and Kalen King has a chance to, I think, at least play slot corner. Overall, the Packers had a lot of picks, and I really feel like they added a ton of depth with possibly four starters. So the Packers had a very solid draft, if not spectacular, because not a lot of big names, just a lot of good players. Very similar to how Jason Light drafts, where he's not looking for superstars. He's just looking for guys that come in and do their job garbage pail size, you know, which I really think that's lunch pail, garbage pail, whichever you want to go with. And then, of course, one of my darlings, the Detroit Lions. So as everyone knows, I do like the Lions. I love the guys that go from last to first. I mean, I'm a Bucks fan, for goodness sake. So I do love watching a team come up from the bottom. And the Lions did that last year. Unfortunately, they beat the Bucks in the playoffs last year and then lost to the 49ers, which they were up 21-7, should have won that game. The Detroit Lions drafts have been some of the best in the NFL. That's how they got their turnaround. They added golf, and then they've been drafting extremely well. Two out of the 3 years, the Jets, the Detroit Lions, the Houston Texans, the Philadelphia Eagles have just been unbelievably drafting. And the Detroit Lions did it again, picked the number in the first round. They stole Sam Laporta last year, which I thought was funny how everybody criticized him. And they took, you know, one of my absolute favorite running backs in the first round last year, which I said was an instant playmaker. You know, the funny thing is he's the reason why the Bucks lost the playoff game. So I think it's funny how don't draft a guy in the first round as a running back. And well, why? If he's a difference maker and can destroy players and teams and make that much of a difference, just like he did last year, which is amazing. But this year, the Detroit Lions traded up and got Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. He was picked 24. A lot of people had him as the number one corner coming off the board. So at a value of pick 24, the Lions couldn't pass it up. They went out and got him. Then they came back in the second round and got Enos Rakeshall Jr. out of Missouri, another corner that had a first-round grade. They got him 61 overall. So did the Detroit Lions just literally just draft two starting corners for their defense that are really highly ranked and really, really good players? If Terrion Arnold and Rakeshall start for the Detroit Lions at pick 24 and 61, and the Detroit Lions are going to go deep in the playoffs, as you know, they have Super Bowl aspirations. Wouldn't that be incredible? That would be an incredible draft. So they lost their third-round draft pick trading up. In the fourth round, they picked Giovanni Manu out of British Columbia as a tackle. The really interesting thing about him is nobody even knew who this guy was until, like, the Senior Bowl. And then everybody's like, oh, well, he ran a sub-540. Let's look at him. Well, the reason why that's so impressive is because he's 6'7", 352 pounds. So we'll see what goes on with him. I think in the fourth round, 126, they just took a shot to see if he can play. In the fourth round, they took safety Sione Vaki out of Utah. Very well-coached player, extremely athletic. He was a running back at Utah and safety. He played both sides of the ball. He fits in what the Detroit Lions want to do. He is definitely a Campbell guy. So I think that the Detroit Lions are going to fall in love with him just because he's just a throwback safety running back guy, do it all, you know, bleed for the team kind of guy. And then they got an interior defensive lineman, Mekhi Wingo, out of LSU. Really interesting player. He's going to be very similar to Levi, who they drafted out of Washington about 3 years ago. Another big, strong, run-stopping guy, just to add to a defensive line that, you know, is already extremely good. The interesting thing about Wingo is he has some pass rush in him. And like 2 years ago, he was like one of the biggest up-and-coming five-star recruits. And then he kind of didn't put it all together. And that's why he fell to pick 189. But he has a lot of potential to be something special. And then a sixth-round Christian Mahogany out of Boston College. He was picked 210. Basically, here's a fourth-round, third-round guy round. He fell a little bit further than what everybody expected. He only allowed one sack over three seasons in college football. He had 711 run pass blocking snaps. I think this guy might be the steal of the sixth round. So if I had to right now say the best pick of the sixth round, it's going to be this guy, Christian Mahogany out of Boston College, because I think he actually has a chance to start for the Detroit Lions. I mean, I think he's that good. I really think it's Trevor Keegan's going to be my guy in the fifth round, obviously, was my favorite guard. But again, the Detroit Lions coming back with Terrion Arnold and Rakeshall Jr., who has obviously had a first-round grade. They got the number one corner and a first-round grade corner with their first two picks, came back and got Manu, which I think is a little of a reach, and then Vaki out of Utah, which I think is a stone-cold Campbell guy. The Detroit Lions are going to love him. Wingo in the sixth round, and add a guy they can add to the defensive lineman, and Christian Mahogany out of Boston College has a chance to start. I think he's that good. So that wraps up the Best in Class NFC North breakdown. I hope you enjoyed the best 30 minutes in football. Please visit us at BillCurryFord.com to see all of our amazing summer specials. Take a break, a summer vacation from payments with 3 months deferred at Bill Curry Ford. Discounts up to $20,000. Kelley Blue Book up to 130%. Follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, and Instagram. Please, when you're booking your service appointment, just remember that we have pickup and delivery, mobile service, and 99 loaners. We are all free of charge to our guests. We have everything you could possibly imagine. You know, when an issue strikes and you need to figure out what to do, all you need is go on your mobile phone. You go to Bill Curry Ford. We're going to have an option that's going to work for you. Again, we're marching towards having the largest service department in the United States. It's a lot of fun. I'll see you guys next week when we're going to break down another NFC division. Hope you guys have a great week of football. It's coming really fast, so don't get too depressed. Watch the NBA finals. Watch some hockey. We're going to get there soon, guys.